Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
Welcome to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, we've got some exciting things to talk about today. Some of you have contacted us and asked us, how can you get involved in training your dog not only to be a service or therapy dog, but to actually be a cancer detection dog? We do have classes starting up at UnitedCanineProfessionals.com, so you definitely have to stay tuned and listen for more details. Well, let's talk about, again, the delightful weather here in the Northeast and specifically in New Jersey. Remember that sometimes in the crazy winter and the crazy summer, a day can vary 30 to 40, even more, 50 degrees in one day. Now, those of you who live in the Midwest, especially Missouri and Kansas, well, that 50 degrees can be within about 15 minutes because I've been there and we bought a wonderful farm in Missouri about an hour from St. Louis, and we will be there with our Merlin's Kids service dogs and training classes, and as well as our good friend and regional supervisor there, Dennis Parker. We have Tristan Matthews. We have Laren. We have all kinds of great people out there. Well, the weather can be a real problem for pets these days because we've got a day like we're going to have negative 2 degrees here in New Jersey with a wind chill. That's really cold. Now, coincidentally, I happened to see a little post on Facebook, and the post was talking about a dog who had disappeared almost 3 months ago. What's the best way, especially if you don't know the dog real well, what's the best way to catch a dog? Well, unfortunately, most dogs, when they do run away, were running away for a reason. That doesn't mean that they were abused. They just might have been scared of something. And in that moment that they were fearful, they're not thinking with their right mind. They're thinking, oh my gosh, there's danger and I've got to get away from it. Now, the worst thing we want to do when we've got a dog who's run away is to chase the dog. Imagine, and the problem is that people start doing this very habit at home. They think it's entertaining. So let's start with some of the things. In this weather, if we had a dog who ran away, and let's say you're living up in the North Pole, and we do actually have one of our people through United Canine Professionals in North Pole, Alaska, one in Anchorage and one in Fairbanks. But let's say a different North Pole. Let's say the North Pole, which is where the future Dr. Jody Joseph, who is a specialist certified in natural canine behavior rehabilitation by United Canine Professionals. She lives in our local North Pole, which is Ithaca, New York, and Jody's doing great things up there. Well, what do you do when all of a sudden you see a dog, maybe you don't know who the dog is, you don't know who it belongs to, or your own dog runs off? Now, unfortunately, many times, even when it's a dog you've owned for a long time, if you don't approach the dog in the proper manner, the dog is still going to take off. Well, we had this happen a couple of months ago when one of our foster dogs had run off through an open gate from one of our fosters and had run off and was not coming to anyone. And I'm telling you, this is like the Walmart greeter here. He was the friendliest dog in the world. But in that fearful state of mind, he knew, uh-oh, I've got to get away. And you can't just assume that the dog is going to, even if it's a dog that you've owned for many, many years. So, what do you do when a dog's running away? Well, first of all, backtrack. What should you never do with a dog, even your own dog? Don't play chase with the dog. Don't run after him and reward him for running away from you by chasing him and then telling him what a good boy he is. And for goodness sake, if a dog is running away, please don't keep chasing him because he's going to get more and more fearful. So how do you catch a dog? Well, bend down, kind of squat down, Once you see the dog, obviously not in the middle of an empty field because your neighbors will probably call and have you taken out to the psych ward. But if you can kind of see the dog and, you know, he can kind of see you, turn your side to the dog so you can kind of still look at him, but don't stare at him. Remember, staring or looking at anybody is a way that you're challenging. We don't want to challenge a fearful dog. We don't want to challenge the dog and then scare him. Or if it's a dog you don't know, perhaps even scare the dog enough where he comes after you. So bend down, kind of like you're looking through the grass for four-leaf clovers. Pretend you found something. So if the dog sees you looking at something and not looking at him, there's a greater chance that either he won't run away or that he may come to you trying to figure out, what is this person doing? All right, so you've got this dog coming towards you. When is it safe to stand up and take the dog or grab the dog or see if he has a collar? Again, no quick movements. It sounds so simple and so logical, yet so many people do this. And especially if the dog is running, you're not going to outrun even a chihuahua. So don't try. So walk. Try to walk. And if you can, imagine that you're walking past the dog. You're not actually looking at the dog. You're looking at something beyond where the dog is. So your energy isn't actually on the dog, but rather your energy is on something else. So the dog won't be intimidated by your energy coming at it. Now, if you happen to have a dog who tends to run away very frequently, you need to stay tuned because we're going to talk about that. And unfortunately, this is a very, very common thing in the few months following when you rescue a dog from a shelter, rescue, or as a stray. Because remember, that first 2 months is a honeymoon period. And that first 2 months, it's kind of like when, you know, we go out on a date with a nice guy or a nice lady, and you're on best behavior. You don't say any curse words. You don't complain about your ex-boyfriend or spouse. You don't, you make sure you're on time. You order something cheap off the menu. And then after a couple of months, well, you start realizing, oh, boy, all right, let him see what I'm about. Well, the same thing happens with dogs. So after that initial 2 to 3 months where the dog is getting comfortable and you're getting to know the dog and you're starting to build a connection, you're starting to build trust, then you can start expecting a little bit more of the dog. During that first couple months after you get a dog, and this goes with, you know, on the best case scenario, you should not be letting dogs off the leash because one thing is you don't really know his triggers yet. You don't know exactly what this dog ran away from before or why the dog was placed in a shelter or dumped in the first place. Maybe he ran away all the time. Maybe he was a dog who was always getting in trouble. Maybe he had separation anxiety and he was trying to follow his owners. You don't know. And as I always say, you don't know what you don't know. So be wise, be safe, and be smart. Don't let a dog just off the leash, even if he's done it every day since the day you got him. Please be aware that there was a reason that somebody lost that connection with that beautiful dog, and we don't want to set him up for failure. We want to set him up for success. And at United Canine Professionals and MerlinsKids.org, we set up our dogs for success. We set our customers up for success, our patients up for success, and we're going to set you listeners up for success too. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo, to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo, healthy.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat treated to help retain all the natural rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com, order code 3395. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
To Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, we were talking before the break about how to get your dog a nice, stable connection with you. Once you get that dog, and I want to tell everybody who's rescued a dog, please, please spread the word, and thank you so much for rescuing. This coming from a longtime breeder of Grand Champion and Champion Rhodesian Ridgebacks who've won at Westminster the AKC Ace Award and Yukonuba Championships and all kinds of things. You know what? My little rescue dogs are sitting on the same furniture with my very, very expensive, beautifully bred Champion Show dogs. And guess what? They're all the same. So please, if you're going to go get a dog, look first in the shelters and check with the breed rescues because you can get a great purebred dog or mixed breed dog from any of the shelters. And if you do want a puppy, please go to a reputable breeder who is a show breeder, who cares about what that person's producing and cares about the dogs and has a guarantee on the dog's health, temperament, behavior, and all that. And one who will also help you and will be reachable by phone. Just remember, if somebody contacts you and they're going to ship you a dog without ever having met you, that's like an arranged marriage. Imagine if you, as a baby, got stuck marrying somebody else who you never met. Well, same thing with a dog. If you're going to get a dog, a purebred, please go to a regular breed rescue and you can find some great dogs there. Otherwise, if you want to go to a breeder, and please don't keep buying mixed breed dogs. The only reason that anybody would breed a mixed breed dog is for money. They can say, oh, we're breeding them to be therapy dogs. Well, guess what? At Merlin's Kids, guess how many dogs that we place start out as shelter and rescue dogs? These are dogs who come from shelters or strays from rescues all over the country. 90% or more of our dogs are rescue dogs, and they're the best service and therapy dogs out there. So remember, you don't have to buy something because, as far as I know, every dog in the shelter started out as a puppy, and some human ruined that dog or caused that dog to have those behavioral issues. So don't assume that you're the best dog trainer in the world because you had three dogs and they were the best dog in the world. Please make sure that you rescue. If you can't rescue, you want to buy a puppy, go to a really top breeder and buy a great dog. All right, well, enough of my little rant there for a moment. But let's talk about what do you do when you get your dog home from the shelter, or what do you do even before that? When you're trying to pick out which dog is appropriate, you fall in love with a picture on Facebook. Ah, look at that beautiful little puppy. He's so cute. He's an Australian cattle dog. Well, that's okay. We live in New Jersey, or we live in Missouri, but he'll have fun. I live in a little apartment. Guess what? May not be the right dog for you. Perhaps you want to look for a lower energy dog. Unfortunately, people fall in love with their eyes and their hearts, and we sometimes need to fall in love with a dog with our brains. You'll love any dog. If you have that special connection to a dog you see, of course get him. But make sure that you can do right by that dog, because somebody already lost the connection they had to that dog. And they were actually, giving up on the dog, and that's why you got the dog. Well, when you get a shelter or rescue dog, many, many times these dogs will have behavioral issues that won't pop up like we were talking about in the last segment. Sometimes these behavioral issues won't pop up for 2 to 6 months. But trust me, there's a reason that somebody gave up on that dog. There's a reason that that dog is in the shelter or in the rescue group, because he wasn't exactly what somebody thought he was going to be. So, what do you do? Well, one of the things that you really have to be aware of is nutrition. So many of these dogs that came from larger litters or from rather poor nutritional backgrounds, because maybe mama was a junkyard dog, or they didn't know that mama was pregnant, or some sick individual, you know, put the dogs, in a banana box and left them out at the shelter overnight. We don't know what happened, but a lot of these puppies, when they were young, had either demodectic mange, worms, things like that. And that can affect their nutrition. That can affect their health for a lifetime. It can actually affect them quite a bit. So it's very, very important that you make sure that when you have a dog, you're giving him the best nutrition. Now, we've talked about nutrition before, but it's very important, especially for dogs who you've gotten from a shelter or a rescue, to make sure that you're giving them very high quality food, but not overdoing it. One of the biggest problems that people do with dogs and with horses is that people will actually go and they will kind of overfeed. And what you can do is you can shut down their pancreas, you can get them sick, you can give them liver or kidney issues. Because if a dog is not used to having good nutrition, you don't want to just lump, 4,000 calories a day on a dog when the dog is used to 50 calories a day. So slow and steady wins the race, especially with horses, or you'll founder them or colic them. So very, very important when you get your dog. And let's say you've got a great relationship, your dog is doing great, and now so all of a sudden, 2 months and one day, the dog has a behavioral issue. Well, if the dog has some kind of a behavioral issue, chances are it happened before. You might want to call us at United Canine Professionals, 855-4-K-9-PROS, because we can help you with that. And we will give you free advice. I want to urge everyone, if you have an issue with your dog, just because you call doesn't mean you have to hire us. What that means is we will help you. We will guide you. That is a free number. So you can call and get a free behavioral consultation with one of us, and we will help you. Not everybody who calls needs us to come out to their house. We may be able to help you on the phone. And if you have a shelter or rescue dog, that's what we want to do so that dog never winds up going back into the shelter. We want to make sure that there are not 4 million more dead dogs next year like there were last year and the year before and the year before and the year before. And as the economy gets worse, there are more and more dogs in the shelter, more and more dogs dying. It's just an absolute travesty. So we'll talk a little bit more about what you want to do when you bring your dog home. And also, when you're trying to teach your dog to respect a fence line or to teach the dog that you own an area, what you need to do, honestly, is just show the dog, because if you walk on a leash with your dog through the house or through the area, the new area where you're going to be, the dog realizes that as long as you're in front and he's behind you, that you're in charge and he's a follower. So that's a beginning. Put your dog on a leash and bring him in so that you're able to make sure that he's okay. Please make sure that you do that, because if you don't do that, what's going to happen is at some point the dog is going to start thinking that he owns the place. So we're going to be right back with our show in just a minute. Please stay tuned for more information on From Shelter Dog to Service Dog.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, we're talking about rescue and shelter dogs and how we can make them nice, calm, confident, stable dogs, just like Wyatt and Wispa and Brandy and Fallon and all my other babies, Romeo, Sedona, Savannah. Oh, my Lord, I have a lot of dogs. Well, that's better than having a lot of relatives, because you know what? I love my dogs, and the best part about my dogs is they don't talk back. So let's keep going on with how do we get that bond, that wonderful connection with your new shelter dog. The first thing is, please stop treating your dog like he's abused. Please stop treating your dog like he came from a terrible situation. Please stop treating your dog like you're apologizing for everything that's happened to him or hasn't happened to him in his life. The issue is that, of course, some dogs are abused, and that's horrible. I mean, there's no excuse for anybody to harm an animal, either verbally or physically, or for them to harm a child. But the problem is that if you keep your dog in that past by continually saying, oh, you know, hey, poor thing, let me do this, and, well, he likes to go sniff, and he likes to go out ahead of me on a walk, and, oh, by the way, he really likes, you know, he loves to just jump up on the furniture, and I'll just sit next to him on the furniture. And all these things that we do that we think we're helping these dogs, we're not helping them. We're not helping them at all. We need to start setting some rules. We need to teach the dogs the guidelines, what we expect of them, because chances are nobody gave them that. Probably nobody gave them rules. That dog might have been a champ at sitting, lying down, doing all that. But unfortunately, he probably wasn't a champ when it came to behavior. To good behavior, he wasn't really on that. You have to understand the difference between behavior and training. And we at United Canine Professionals do both. We do. We train dogs to be service dogs. We train dogs to be cancer detection dogs. And we also do behavioral modification. Most of what we do, in fact, is behavioral modification. Because if I've heard it once, I've heard it 1,000 times. I love when people come up, and my Wyatt is standing right next to me in the studio right now giving me kisses. So if you hear a kiss here, you just got a big fat kiss on the mouth. But my Wyatt knows what I'm talking about. How many times, especially when Wyatt won the AKC Ace Award or when we were in Chicago at the Chicago Fire TV show Firehouse, and we were there, and it was awesome. We, you know, we're there, you know, kind of talking about what Wyatt does, working with autistic children and veterans and special needs kids and special needs adults and working with aggressive dogs and, you know, winning the AKC Ace Award and having his own TV show and all these different things and the book series for Wyatt and all. And the first thing people say to me is, they look down and they go, wow, he's gorgeous, he's beautiful. I say, thank you. And then they look at Wyatt and they say, Wyatt, sit. And I look at them and I say, you know, like quizzically, huh? Well, oh, he doesn't sit. And I say, well, no, sorry. He finds cancer. He works with autistic children. He's got a book series. He has a movie deal hopefully coming up. He's been on so many TV shows, including The Today Show with Kathy Lee Gifford, who's a sweetheart, and Hoda, who is amazing and beautiful. And I said, but no, I'm sorry. He doesn't sit for strangers. Now, understand this. Would you want your five-year-old child to listen to a stranger when the stranger says, get in my car, honey? Of course not. You don't want your dog to listen to everybody unless it's going to be a therapy dog that's going to be used or in-school service dog like we train through Merlin's Kids and United Canine Professionals. I don't want my dog to listen to everybody. That's ridiculous. I want him to listen to me. Now, he knows what that means, but he won't listen to somebody unless the dog, he will look up at me to see if it's okay. So, does he sit? Of course he sits. But do I care if this amazing animal who can sense cancers and who can find blood sugar issues, can detect blindness, can detect brain injuries, can detect tumors, can detect any kind of seizure you can imagine? Well, do I care if he sits when I tell him to sit? Because your dog may sit, or the dog at the shelter may sit, but I bet he doesn't find cancers and tumors and seizures and blood sugar, and bet he doesn't work with autistic kids, and he's great with everybody. And so you see, it's not that you can't train your dog, but most people and most dogs need to understand that behavior is what you need. The dog just needs to learn what you expect of him. And especially when you're getting a shelter dog, you don't know who had him before. You don't know what triggers there are. Now, that doesn't mean that he's going to turn into Cujo in the middle of the night and kill you. But what it does mean is that you may not know the triggers. It may be a thunderstorm. It may be a certain kind of a car. It may be a man with a hat. Now, what happens if your dog is afraid of men? And I hear everybody nodding their heads, my shelter dog is afraid of men because he was abused. Well, not necessarily, and hopefully not. Now, granted, yes, some, unfortunately, it's horrible. There are definitely some dogs who have been abused. But the vast majority of dogs have not been abused but were exposed to something in their fear phase when they were in their fear impact or flight instinct periods, which are between 6 and 14 months. And that dog might go through perfectly with not a problem, not a concern through the whole fear impact and flight instinct period. But some dogs, in that time, they were a little bit nervous or fearful, had something happen. It could have been a loud noise, and at the time they were looking at a man with a baseball hat. And now they assume that that man with the baseball hat made the noise. Or it could be that something fell on them. It could be something shiny. They could have had a near miss running in and almost getting hit by a car. So now they're afraid of cars. We don't know exactly what it is, but that's the point. We can't keep the dog living in his past, because if we can't get past his past, how can he get past his past? So what do? We pretend that he was born in Oprah Winfrey's house, in Ellen DeGeneres' house, in Queen Latifah's house, in Kathy Lee Gifford's house. That's how we get him past it. We don't keep him in his past. We take him out of his past. We put him into the present. And the present is a beautiful place for him to be. The present is a wonderful gift that we can give to our dog. So instead of having a dog where we're always looking and we're saying, oh my goodness, this poor dog, he had this happen, he had that happen, and keeping him in that and petting him and rewarding his fears, let's help him get away from that. Let's get him past his past by getting you past his past. Definitely want to stay tuned for the next segment because we're going to talk about just that. How do we rehabilitate our own shelter dog who might have some behavioral issues? Or how do we prevent that from happening to our young puppy? Because it doesn't matter. Every puppy in the shelter was living with a human at some time. And, oh well, every human isn't as smart as every dog. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
Attention all pet lovers. Do you love your furry pet? Well, I want to introduce to you Paws and Silk, the first all-natural silk-filled pet bedding and apparel line that helps improve your pet's overall health and wellness. Paws and Silk is made using luxurious long-stranded silk and all-natural breathable cotton. Each product will help keep your pet cool and comfortable all year long. Paws and Silk pet beds and coats will also work as a barrier against dust, mites, and other allergens. Not only are they fashionable, but they also don't take on your pet's odor. Better yet, they're even machine washable. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit Paws and Silk website at pawsandsilk.com to learn more about Paws and Silk and their incredible products. That's PAWSNSILK.com. You can buy directly from the site, and they even ship all over North America. How easy is that? For more information, go to pawsandsilk.com or call their toll-free number, 877-678-7455.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
Well, welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, we're talking about shelter dogs, and we're talking about how to get your dogs out of fear phases safely. Now, there are so many things that can cause issues, not only in dogs, but in our boyfriends, husbands, girlfriends, children, parents, etc. The key is to get into the new moment. Now, the easiest way to explain this is imagine someone who's been smoking for 30 years. How does that person quit when every moment has been filled with the thought of a cigarette or has been filled with the smoking of a cigarette or the purchase of a cigarette or the removal of a cigarette from their mouth, their ashtray, whatever? Well, when you're thinking of smoking, and obviously don't if you haven't started and quit if you have, if you can imagine, what would be the very, very first moment that you were a quitter instead of a smoker? Most people will say, well, it's the time you take your last puff. No, it's the time you don't take the next puff. And it's the same thing with shelter dogs. And any puppy who's going through a fear phase, any dog, even if it's out of the fear phases, the key is to get into that new moment and change that new moment. So let's say, for instance, you've got a dog who's very fearful, and let's say it's 4 years old and you rescued it when it was a puppy. But for some reason, this dog is now becoming very fearful of the street lamp or the street corner or a car or construction. So even though he's never been afraid of it, we still can't ever let the dog give in to his fears because fear is unpredictable. Fear makes people and animals unpredictable. Remember Columbine, Virginia Tech, Sandy Hook? These are not the captains of the football team out there. These are not confident people. These are people who are scared. And in that fear, they become unpredictable. Fear makes people and dogs unpredictable. So when your dog starts exhibiting kind of strange behaviors, whether you've only had him for a day or you've had him for a month or a year or 10 years, you know, I had this week, I can't even tell you, I want to say 16 classes last week, and the youngest dog I had was a seven-week-old puppy that someone had found in a garbage can, and these people had taken the dog as a foster and fell in love with it. Really cute. And the oldest dog was, I believe, 12 and a half. So what happens between that 7 weeks and 12 and a half? Well, sometimes dogs will have a behavioral issue that starts very early on, and people don't know how to fix the issue. So what they do is they kind of let it go. They just don't address it. Kind of like if your child stole something and you ignored it, maybe some of the kids would stop. But chances are that behavioral issue is just going to intensify. And that's what happened with these dogs. When someone calls us at United Canine Professionals and they say, hey, I need help. I just rescued this dog. The dog is chewing all over the place. The dog is peeing all over my house. I just spoke with a lovely couple this morning. They rescued a two-year-old dachshund who belonged to his grandmother, who unfortunately passed away. And this dog had no idea of being outside. It didn't even go in on a potty pad. So, you know, the dog was dumped in a shelter by a horrible family member. And this young man and his wife went to that shelter and rescued the grandmother's dog. Those are the people we want to have as clients for United Canine Professionals, because those are the good people who are doing the right thing. Well, here's what you can do to do the right thing. First thing is, don't let the dog give in to its fears. So that doesn't mean that if the dog is blocking or stopping and not walking past something, it doesn't mean you're going to drag the dog like a horrible thing and just keep dragging the dog as it's flailing around on a leash, like I saw in a YouTube video of some lunatic dragging a feral dog around. You don't want to do that. You'll never build trust. First thing you need to do, anybody who's ever traveled to the actual shelters in the Deep South, some of them in Texas, but the Deep South and the Carolinas and West Virginia, there are some pretty, pretty tough situations out there. And you can't imagine the torture that some of these dogs go through, even though they're not being tortured, just because of the loudness. And the dogs are just scared. So in order to make the dog listen to you, you can't force him. You can't manhandle him and think, oh, gee, isn't this great? You've got to understand why the dog is doing that. But at the same time, you can't let the dog give in to his fear. So let's say the dog stops and he won't continue walking. Well, yes, you could drag him. You could stare at him and make him wonder why you're staring at him, looking at him to see, because then he turns into the leader and you turn into the follower. But what you need to do is go somewhere, is walk. Now, if he's not walking forward, don't keep dragging him. You're going to hurt the dog eventually. What you want to do is make a little 90-degree turn. So let's say you're going north, and the dog is following you, and he stops. Well, if you keep trying to pull him north, he's not going to keep going north because he's blocking. You need to get the brain working in order to get the body working. So what you can do is make a little 90-degree turn and now head west. Just make a little turn, start heading west. If he blocks there, head north again. If he blocks then, head east. Just keep him moving. And then once you do get him past, you'll be able to get him past once or twice. Don't just get him past there. After he does it, go back there again and have him do it a few times so he gets used to the fact that he's not going to die when he goes there. Now, sometimes what will happen, some dogs, especially if they're, you know, they've got any of the terriers in them, like a Westie, Scottie, Cairn, Schnauzer, Yorkie, some of these dogs have a lot of fur over their eyes, and what can happen is, or in their ears, what can happen is they see a distorted picture. So a sudden flashing light looks scary to them because they didn't see where it came from. So always be aware of what the dog is doing and what he is seeing. So you can't let him run from his fear, so he's not allowed to run away. As you'll all learn in Animal Behavior 101, an animal has a choice of doing one of four things when faced with one of four things. He can fight, flight, avoid, or submit. He can fight, which we don't want to fight, obviously. You can run, which is flight, fleeing. You can avoid, which is always a great idea. or you can submit. Well, chances are that you're not going to submit because you don't want to see, you know, you're not going to lie down in the street and have something happen. And you also don't want your dog to see you losing because you're a strong, awesome leader. So fight, flight, avoid, or submit. So if you see a loose dog or something that is scary, don't just turn and run. Make a nice little loop. Kind of think of like a paper clip. Think about a paper clip like a standard one. You wouldn't just stop at a point. You would loop around kind of like a swirl, kind of like loop around the top and head to another direction. This way the dog doesn't see you running, but you're also getting him out of that area to safety. We're going to give you a lot more of these kind of tips that'll help you with your shelter dog, with your rescue dog, or with your little puppy so he never winds up with a behavioral issue. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
Welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. And I just have a little bit of a tidbit. Do you know that Cornell University is the eighth snowiest school in the country? That is before Fairbanks, Alaska. So the future Dr. Jody Joseph, stay warm in your electric blanket that you didn't get because you donated the money to Merlin's Kids, and thank you so much for being so wonderful. Well, let's continue on with the future Dr. Jody Joseph listening on, and let's talk about other ways you can prevent your dog from getting behavioral issues or also helping to get your shelter or rescue dog to become more stable, more confident, and better behaved. All right, so here we go. Here are some more things. When you're feeding your dog, if you leave the food down when he's finished and he's only eaten most of it or half of it or a little of it or none of it, by leaving your food bowl down, you're teaching him that he's in charge of you because he can eat whenever he wants. And the leader of any pack of dogs or any animal knows that if you can eat whenever you want, heck, you must own the place. So you definitely, definitely want to make sure that you're keeping that food bowl up. And then when are you going to feed that dog? Well, how do dogs in nature? How would our dogs, if everybody who's listening and all the thousands of people who are listening right now, if let's say each person averages two dogs, let's say we've got 10,000 dogs and they're all running around in packs and we get hungry after a while, right? Denny's doesn't open a breakfast buffet for all the little forest animals every morning and night. So if let's say we are out there and we're running around looking for food and we kill an antelope or a deer or a moose or whatever it is, and now all of a sudden what happens? Well, apparently, if we kill something together, we're not all going to be eating at the same time because the pack leader is going to eat first. Now, why does he have to eat first? Because it's his job to take care of us, to provide for our needs, to protect us so we're not in danger. So we need our leader to be strong and fit and buff and well-fed. And the pack leader can go out whenever he wants and just go kill a rabbit or a squirrel or a chipmunk and get a little snack. But the rest of the pack isn't able to do that. In fact, the leader will growl at the rest of the pack and say, in dog language, hey, don't follow me. Because if you follow me, you're going to give away my spot, and you don't need to be following me because I don't want to have to want to worry about having to protect you. So what you're going to do, simulating that, is take your dog out for a walk. And especially when the first time you bring your dog into your house, take the dog for a short walk around your neighborhood. Even if it's only for around the block a couple times, take him around the neighborhood. Then once you take him around the neighborhood, then you bring him into your house. Don't just let him go, and don't have 30 people deluge on this poor dog and set him up for failure. Set your dog up for success. So imagine you're outside, you get out of the car, you walk around the neighborhood, you walk around maybe a block or two, and you come back. Now you walk in the house, put the dog behind you as you walk in the door so the dog knows right from the beginning that you're in charge, you're going to make sure there's no danger in the house. He doesn't know where he's going, he's following you. But don't look at him, just walk through your door, make sure the door doesn't hit him, obviously, silly people out there. I've seen you guys do that. You don't even hold the door for your wives. But walk your dog into the house and walk him on the leash behind you through every room in the house. This way, you're first of all claiming the space so he knows that it's your house, and that will make it less likely that he will have accidents in your house. And the other part of that, it will give him the confidence and the trust and the connection to you, to understand that you are going to provide for his needs. You are going to take care of him and protect him and not allow anything to happen, no harm to come to him. So once you've done that and you've walked around the neighborhood a bit, you walk into the house, what do you do? Well, now you can let him either drag the leash or you can remove the leash. And I would advise you to close doors on the rooms that he might be able to get stuck. Let's say he's a dog who's a bit fearful and he runs under the bed. You don't want to be chasing a brand new dog you just brought home under the bed. So close the doors or barricade him in with a baby gate so that he can spend time with the family. Try not to pay too much attention to him unless he comes up to you. So if he's a real friendly dog and he comes up to you and he's in your lap, that's great. But you have to set some rules for him. You can't just let him jump up on you because he'll spill your hot coffee on you and you'll get burned. So if he's a bit fearful, understand that that's understandable, isn't it? You know that's understandable for him. He just came through hell. So what you want to do is, I don't want to say ignore him, but wait until he's very calm. Wait until he's not shaking. Wait until he's in a very gentle, calm, even-tempered, kind of confident state of mind. If he's shaking, if he's shivering, if he's howling, if he's like trying to claw his way up to get on top of you, you don't want to give him reward then. You don't want to pet him and keep telling him, yes, good job, keep being fearful, honey. You just keep being fearful so that I can call United Canine Professionals and I can have them come out and make you non-fearful. There's so many things that you can do when you first get your dog. Please, listen. It makes sense. If you think like a dog, and I always say that, I've said that for years, think like a dog. If you think like a dog, you'll understand how a dog thinks. If you think like a human, well, you're never going to get it. So, got some nice tips today. I also wanted to go into for a few minutes about, we've had so many people asking how they can get involved, how they can join United Canine Professionals, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about that. Well, we've gotten so many applications in since we were on the Today Show. Wyatt and I were on with our good friend Lisa Kakar and Aiden and his service dog, Zuri, who was placed last Christmas Eve with Aiden through Merlin's Kids. So many people saw the Today Show and saw that and said, hey, we love what you're doing. How can we get involved? Well, you can call us at Merlin's Kids, which is 855-HI-WYATT, or you can go on the website. It's merlinskids.org. And if you want to get involved and become a specialist, an expert, or a master in natural canine behavior rehabilitation, which is a patented and trademarked wonderful way of communicating behaviorally with your dog, you can contact us at UnitedK9Professionals.com. We have classes. We'll be starting our next series in about 4 weeks. We also have cancer detection dog training that's going to be starting in the next few weeks. So you can help us to not only train service dogs who started out as rescue and shelter dogs, and to train cancer detection and health detection dogs through Merlin's Kids and UnitedK9Professionals.com. But you can also help us to temperament test and evaluate dogs in your local shelter so you can help us to save more dogs. One final thing before we end the show, we need more fosters. We've found so many incredible dogs lately, but we need more fosters all around the country to help us for Merlin's Kids. So if you can foster a dog, you'll even get a tuition credit towards your training. So please get in touch with us if you can foster a dog for us and get involved in our training program. It will change your life forever. And please stay safe and warm and healthy. This is going to be bad weather tonight. Stay safe. And we'll see you next week again on From Shelter Dog to Service Dog.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.